Thank you. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
Listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Thank you. with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Conversation Radio, America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's the middle of the week. And, I suppose there are a lot of people feeling, what shall we call it, election hangover? Wisconsin didn't turn out too well, did it? Not to be a nattering nabob of negativity, but I kind of expected it. Especially when I started seeing stories coming from Brad Friedman about the fact that there was really no way to recount the votes. That's a bad sign. But I got to tell you this, Kapanke, the guy who lives in Brother Albert's district, Brother Albert helped get the job done. Kapanke was one of the two Republicans who got their sorry repig-licking asses recalled only yesterday. Needed three, got two. So it looks like it's going to, the ugliness will continue. How do you explain that? I explain it by virtue of the fact that there's all kinds of filthy money in the process, and there's still a lot of stupid people, even in Wisconsin, who are more than happy to vote against their own best interests and continue to vote repig-licking for a variety of reasons. Little fetuses, or because they're teabaggers and have the approximate brain capacity of a, peat moss? Yeah. And those are sufficient when we're talking about repig-licking votes. I wish it had been otherwise. Yea, verily, I do. But it wasn't. But it is Wednesday. It is, in fact, the middle of the week. It is hump day. We are now officially downhill to Friday. But, as you know, it is so, so very much more than that. Brethren, sistren, it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Glory, glory, glory. That's right. It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And the deacons have gotten finished with their second, third, and fourth helpings of the fresh berry cobbler down in the fellowship hall, and the hand-churned ice cream that the little royal ambassadors and girls in action teen groups churned so hard on through the day. And now, brethren and sistren, it's time to come up into the sanctuary. That's right, that's right, that's right. This is, of course, the time when we pass the plate on the Horn. I remind you that we fell considerably short of our fundraising goal yesterday evening. Our fundraising goal for this evening is $100, one single picture of Benjamin Franklin, that born-again Christian, Benjamin Franklin. We just need one of him. 10 of y'all, that would be 10 Alexander Hamiltons to the single Benjamin. 10 contributions of $10 each. Amen and amen. As the plate passes around during this time of prayer,
And we have a special guest this evening for a prayer in song, brethren and sistren. And so as the prayer in song is sung and the plate passes round, brethren and sistren, I urge you to dig deep, hallelujah, glory, dig deep, so that there may be further prayer meeting Wednesdays right here on the Horn. Brother, sing it to us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for all your blessings. You said in all things give thanks. So we want to thank you tonight for these mighty machines that you've brought before us. Thank you for the Dodges and the Toyotas. Thank you for the Fords. And most of all, we thank you for Rousey Yates Margaret to give us the power that we see before us tonight. Thank you for Tim.
Boogity, 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 amen, hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sistren. Come on in, deacons. Come on in from out in the parking lot. Quit standing there smoking with the strippers and the sinners. And come on in through the vestibule. Don't carry by that bowl of 35-year-old after-dinner mints. They're only there for decoration, just like the plastic carnations. Come on in, brethren and sistren. Come on down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees. Glory. Hallelujah. Fall upon your knees and put your hands upon the subwoofers and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you. From the server on high, this is the Cathedral of Common Sense, and brethren and sistren, I am Brother Bob Kincaid, Archpope, Ultimate Imam, Superior Rabbi, Ultimate Shaman, and all-around nice guy. Welcome to Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Where to begin? Where to begin? Where to begin? Well, brethren and sistren, I think I know where I want to begin. Among the godly presidential contenders of the Repig-Lickin' Party, brethren and sistren, there is none more godly than Rick Frothy Mixture Santorum. Rick Frothy Mixture Santorum, man-on-dog sex Santorum. Oh, he's out there working. He's a-working and a-polishing his message, brethren and sistren. He's a-polishing, probably gets a little red in the face from all of that polishing. You know how that kind of thing goes. But he's having a little trouble with his metaphors. Because you know how it is when you're trying to lead people to the light. Sometimes they don't understand the more esoteric qualities of a message of holiness. And you have to do some storytelling. In the Bible, those are called parables. But you know what, brethren and sisters? Sometimes parables can be perilous. Sometimes they don't get your parables, brethren and sisters, and you got to go back to the drawing board. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. Amen and amen. The parable business can be perilous business. Well, just as an example.
Consider the lilies.
So you want to haggle?
No, in the field.
What's wrong with it?
Nothing, take it.
Consider the lilies?
Well, the birds, then.
What birds?
Any birds.
Why?
Well, have they got jobs?
Who? The birds.
Have the birds got jobs?
What's the matter with him? Says the birds are scrounging.
Oh, look, the point is, the birds, they do all right, don't they?
Well, good luck to them.
Yeah, they're very pretty. Okay, and you're much more important than they are, right? So what are you worrying about? They are, see?
I'm worrying about what you've got against birds.
I haven't got anything against the birds. Consider the lily.
He's having a go at the flowers, now.
Give the flowers a chance. I'll give you one for it.
It's yours, too.
Look, there was this man, and he had two servants.
What were they called?
What?
What were their names?
I don't know. And he gave them some talents.
You don't know?
Well, it doesn't matter.
He doesn't know what they were called.
Oh, they were called Simon and Adrian. Now...
Oh, you said you didn't know.
It really doesn't matter. The point is, there were these two servants.
He's making it up as he goes along.
No, I'm not. And he gave them some... Now, wait a minute, was there three?
Oh,
there
he's three. Terrible.
There were three, there was
two or three.
Yeah, you see, I mean, the parabolizing game can be a trifle difficult. People bring their own experiences, their own existential realities to the message itself, and sometimes it just gets a little difficult. Consider, as I said, that man of great holiness, Brother Rick Frothy Mixture Santorum. Brother Santorum is out there trying to explain marriage to people. Now, you'd think here in 2011 that marriage wouldn't take a whole lot of explaining. I mean, there's a lot of marrying going on just all over the place. I mean, we just got done with June a couple of months ago, and you can't swing a dead rat without hitting a wedding in June now, can you? But Brother Rick Frothy Mixture Santorum has gone out to Iowa in his quest to be our next president, and he feels the need to explain marriage to the Iowaans. Because them Iowaans, well, they got them a court that said it'd be all right if the homosexuals got married, too. If they was able to love each other as they chose and commit to each other as they chose and partake of vast and multitudinous benefits conferred by the law of the United States of America and the Constitution that are guaranteed under the... Yeah... Constitution, due process, equal protection, all of that kind of stuff. Brother Frothy Mixture, he don't like that. So he's trying to, he's working hard, brethren and sisters. He's trying to follow his Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, in explaining what marriage means to those heathen Iowaans. Who's done had their state concluded by the gays of getting hitched and picking out China patterns and having towels monogrammed and getting them funny little soaps that ain't nobody can use but just sits on the dish like all them good heterosexual couples has. It ain't been going easy for the Frothy Mixture, I gotta tell you.
A very important distinction that the left does not make. That you can be against what a group of people believe and not be against the people affected by those beliefs. Okay? I can say that marriage is what marriage existed before governments existed. This is a fact.
Well, I gotta stand with him on that one. Marriage did exist before governments existed. Before there were governments, a man would have a daughter, and another man would have a son, and the man with the daughter would trade his daughter to the man who had the son in exchange of the man with the son, giving the man who had the daughter an equal value of camels and goats and bats and rats and elephants and giraffes and snakes and pigs. Well, no pigs. Well, I don't know. Maybe there's pigs. Fish, who knows what. Sheep, poor sheep. in exchange for that their girl child that the man had. It was what's called a property transfer. The girl was property, the sheep were property, the camels were property, the goats were property, the snakes and the rats and the bats and the elephants and the giraffes was all property. And he's just doing a property swap, so it absolutely existed before government. And some people got so good at it that they had them property transfers 400, 500, 600 times, maybe 1,000 even. And that ain't counting the concubines. So I gotta give it to the frothy mixture on that. But I still say he's got some parable problems. Parable.
Existed before governments existed. This is a napkin.
It's a napkin.
I can call this napkin a paper towel. But it is a napkin.
Now, how about that? This is a napkin. I can call this napkin a paper towel, but it's still a napkin. But you know what? If I turn over my boiling hot coffee and I say, hey, Brother Frothy Mixture, hand me a paper towel and he hands me a napkin, I'm still going to go to sopping up my burning crotch with that paper napkin, whether it be a towel or a paper napkin, and it ain't going to matter much to me in the midst of trying to get the heat off of my genitalia that's a-burning. So, obviously, you see, Brother Frothy Mixture has some parable problems.
Because it is what it is. Right? You can call it whatever you want, but it doesn't change the character of what it is. Sort of the metaphysical. Right? So people come out and say marriage is something else. Marriage is the marriage of five people. Maybe 5, 10, 20. Marriage can be between fathers and daughters. Marriage can be between any two people, any four people, any 10 people. It can be any kind of relationship. And we can call it marriage. But it doesn't make it marriage. Why? Because there are certain qualities and certain things that attach to the definition of what marriage is. It's the bringing together according to the natural law people of two genders in nature who come together to form a union for the purpose.
I didn't think Brother Rick liked people forming unions. Maybe he's turning his ways.
Of the benefit of each of them because they are made in nature to fit together, to live together, one on one, as we see in nature with many species.
Not all species.
To do what? To have children? To raise those children?
Wait. You mean marriage is for the having of children? Brother Frothy Bixter, you might want to get a little telegram or a tweet or an email or a Facebook message or something off to your buddy Flush Flemball. That man's been a-marrying all over the place and hadn't had a youngin' yet. Then again, nobody's seen the latest Mrs. Limbaugh in several months now, except on the sides of milk cartons down in Florida. Texas Betsy noting, my ancestors were one guy plus two or three or four wives and a concubine or two. I guess that means two or three or four of the wives were paper towels and the concubine or two were napkins or something. You know what? Like I said, I don't think the parable's working for him. He's going to have to go back to the drawing board because this one's not playing in Peoria or Ames either, for that matter.
The building block of a stable and good society. That is special. That is a gift that God has given us, because nature and nature's God gave us this gift upon which to build a society. And I know people are saying, how does this guy get away with talking about God? They've got a report from the LA Times, and they're going to say, oh my God, it's the God of God. I believe in God. I don't think he's a God that's distant and just sort of remote and sort of watches what I think.
No, he lives two blocks over.
kills himself.
In Cedar Rapids.
His creation. Marriage is part of his creation. It's part of the gift. And when we say, well, we're going to say marriage is something other than it is, and we are going to treat it as a good, as equivalent, you will have huge impact on that institution. You will devalue it, you will cheapen it, and you will make it less available because it will not be seen.
Does that mean he's going to have to give some of the oxen and the goats and the sheep and the camels back? It's been cheapened? Let's see. No, I think he's going to have... No, Brother Frothy Mixture, this one's not working for you.
What it is anyway. Therefore, people won't participate. We will see that happen. In addition, it will have impact beyond just marriage. It will have impact on religion. We have now created a right, a super right, to sexual freedom. It's not in the Constitution, but the courts...
Well, neither's the Super Congress, but we're going to have one of them too, Rick. I don't see anybody whipping out paper napkins or paper towels and... No. See, what I hate about this, what I loathe, detest, and despise about this, is that the miserable bastard can't... I mean, this is a guy who brought a dead fetus home and showed it to his children. This is your brother, but he's dead! Say hello to your brother who's dead! Let's all get down and roll around on the ground with our dead baby. I mean, that's pretty sick. God knows, most people who did something, they'd be accused of child abuse. Terrorizing little ones. But not this freak. No, this freak's all... No, he's all... And you'll notice that he can't describe marriage equity in the terms in which it actually exists. There's no law out there that says you can have a good old-fashioned traditional biblical marriage. You know, where you trade off sheep and camels and goats and bats and rats and elephants and giraffes and oxen and things like that in exchange for a female. No, that can't be done in America. You can't have a traditional biblical marriage in America. You can, however, have a marriage that is sanctioned within and under the strictures and dogma and doctrine of any one of a vast variety of a veritable Pandora's box of religions. The Muslims say you can get divorced. The Catholics say you can't. You can get divorced under Judaism. The Baptists won't let you have a marriage in their church if you're marrying a second time because they frown upon divorce as well. I don't know where the Flying Spaghetti Monster stands on marriage and divorce because, after all, in Flying Spaghetti Monster, the dogma, when you die, you go to heaven, and heaven consists of a beer volcano and a stripper factory. I think that marriage doesn't play a very big role in a religion whose afterlife involves a beer volcano and a stripper factory. We'll be needing a print and press for $1 bills as well. No. Damn him. The Frothy Mixture has to describe marriage equity as being able to marry four or five or whatever, and fathers marrying their daughters. You know, they always go down that incest road a little too quick for my liking. Uncle Daddy! Ew. But like I said, this one's not working for him. So he apparently chucked the paper towel, paper napkin analogy. By the time he had shown up on Monday, no, that was on a Monday. It was this past Monday when he did the paper towel, paper napkin trick. I much prefer the trick done by competent magicians where they fashion a little cone out of newspaper and pour milk into the cone, and then the milk disappears. But no, so this past Monday next last,
He did the paper napkin, paper towel trick. And then on Friday, he shows up to an editorial board meeting with the Des Moines Register. And he's working that, he's still working that marriage angle. But like I said, when you're in the prophesying business and you're dealing with people's own existential realities and making up parables and things like that, that the simple can understand, you know, right-wing Iowaians, simple people. Yeah, you know what I mean by simple people, right?
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Right. And the paper towel, paper napkin thing was a bit above him, I guess. Or, I don't know, skewed to one side. So he knew that he was dealing with a bunch of pointy-headed intellectuals and, you know, probably abusers of various substances. You know how it is with those journalists. So he has a new analogy, a new parable, if you will, being as how he's a prophet now. The prophet Frothy Mixture has a new parable by the time he gets to the editorial board of the Des Moines Register. No, really. He's left the solids, and he's going to work with the liquids.
Marriage is what marriage is. Marriage existed before there was a government. It's like, you know, handing up this and saying, this glass of water is a glass of beer. Well, you can call it a glass of beer, but it's not a glass of beer. It's a glass of water. And water is what water is. Marriage is what marriage is.
You know, I think it's going to take some more work. Of course, you know how it is with underpaid journalists at newspapers. Newspapers are dying all over the country that probably can't hardly afford beer. What? It's beer? Pass it up. Damn! Build this man a religion. He's turned water into beer. Oh, it's still water? Shit. But maybe, brothers and sisters, just maybe, the frothy mixture is right. Maybe marriage is marriage. Because you know what? If you marry, if a dark-haired man marries a blonde-haired woman, but a blonde-haired man marries a dark-haired woman, that's still marriage. If a blue-eyed person marries a green-eyed person, it's still marriage. If a brown-eyed person marries another brown-eyed person, it's still marriage. Because if there is any existential requirement prerequisite to marriage, and we've moved into the... And I like my eye color analogy a lot better than his napkins and towels, beer and water thing myself. If there is an existential requirement to marriage by which we define marriage, and I find it interesting that the frothy mixture never mentions this one thing, maybe, just maybe, in the universe, in the grand scheme of things, if indeed there is, in fact, a grand scheme of things, maybe, just maybe, the one real, honest, actual, no kidding, for true prerequisite to marriage is more simple than anyone can imagine. Maybe the prerequisite to marriage is but one thing, perhaps
What it takes to make a marriage is love. Now, I don't subscribe to the frothy mixtures religion. I don't subscribe to his twisted understanding or misapplication of universal truth. But his own holy book, by one of his own saints, has this to say. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fall away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And yet never, never, ever, in all of his prattling and prating about paper towels and napkins and water and beer and marriage, never does the frothy mixture consider the power, the transformative power, the earth-moving power, the life-saving power of love. For love he hath no word, for love he hath no time. And that should tell us, brothers and sisters, all we ever needed to know about Rick Frothy Mixture Santorum. And those whose sad, sorry, pathetic, hate-infested beings stand with him. For he has nothing. And his own book says so. If I have not love, I am as tinkling brass. Well, tinkle on, frothy mixture, Brother Frothy Mixture brought, what did our good friend Michael, otherwise known as Kid A in the chat room, just say? Yeah, Bro Fromix. Bro Fromix! Or just BFM. No, I like Bro Fromix. Tinkle on, Bro Fromix. Tinkle on. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Cold, or if it was a fade out, and now we know it's a fade out. It's been a while since I played that. Of course, Robert Palmer, Addicted to Love. This is The Horn. It is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I am Bob Kincaid, and many thanks. Many thanks. A dedicatory contribution just came in, and it is It just says, this donation is in honor of a life so well lived out by Judy Bonds, an exceptional example of women standing. And what courage Judy did show during her all too brief time on the planet. Longer than many, but not as long as she was needed. Thank you very, very kindly. Thank you. You know, that day doesn't go by that I don't think of Judy. I miss her horribly. Hard to believe she's been gone 8 months. The first toaster of the evening really does. The first toaster of the evening goes out to Michael Kid A for Bro Fro Mix. Well, we gotta make that one stick somehow. Bro Fro Mix for Rick Frothy Mixture Santorum. Susan, News Ninja Susan, noting, I prefer Lennon's take on it regarding love. I assume Susan is referring to All You Need Is Love. But, of course, Lennon, for good or ill, was raised in the church and would have heard 1 Corinthians 13, which basically says, all you need is love. Because 1 Corinthians 13, as I read it, says, if there's no love, there's nothing else. So, really, it's all you need. David in Tennessee. Am I the only one that thinks Frothy Mixture is a dead ringer for the Michael Scott character from The Office? Both make about the same amount of sense when they haul off and speechify. I hadn't noticed that, but no. And, you know, I heard somewhere along the way that Marcus Bachman is a big fan of that song and that prayer that we played at the beginning of the program. Because he heard, early on when he first heard it, he thought it was boogity, 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 gay men. But it turns out it's boogity, 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 amen. But we can forgive Marcus Bachman for a little projecting, can't we? It is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and we got to get this one out of the way. Will somebody please file a lawsuit? I mean, really. You know, this is one of those talk the talk and walk the walk moments. We've got, I mean, if you're not willing to do it yourself, support someone who is. Dear Jumpin' Jesus, you know all about the Ark Park, right? This really big exercise in utter mindlessness that's being built in Kentucky. Well, it turns out, it was announced in May, but it turns out it's going forward. And the Ark Park has been extended a 75% property tax discount over the next 30 years. In other words, there are going to be people who live near the Ark Park in single-family dwellings who will actually pay more in property taxes per year than the Ark Park. Hell, I'm surprised they're paying taxes at all. I mean, why not just declare yourself a... Oh, but wait, they want to make a profit. ...75% property tax discount. Oh, ACLU, wherefore art thou? Lexington Herald Leader reporting, the array of state and local incentives worry some people who aren't sure they will pay it off in the end. The tax deal is in addition to almost $200,000 given to the company by Grant County's economic development arm as an enticement to keep the project located there, along with 100 acres of reduced-price land. And that's not counting the state's promise of $40 million worth of sales tax rebates and a possible $11 million in improvements to the interstate near the project that would be financed by the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. Good God Almighty!
Do you suppose if somebody... Oh, these are the shortcomings of our side of this debate. Can somebody please draw up a Darwin Park plan and offer to site that 2 miles away? No, 100 miles away. I, by God, want interstate development for the Darwin Park. You know, they can hire people, you know the old costume with the horse and one person's the front and the other's the back? Well, we can have Darwin fish wandering all around on legs. We can sell T-shirts with that lovely portrait of Jesus holding the little baby Tyrannosaurus Rex as the pterodactyls fly around by the volcano in the background. I mean, this makes me crazy, but it's also funny and stupid. I mean, come on. No, you can't just make fun of it. You gotta create an alternative to it. Because the minute Kentucky says, no, thank you, we don't want to sponsor a Darwin Park, then the art park goes up in a puff of smoke. Democrat Governor Steve Beshear is, of course, a big fan of the Ark Park. It'll create up to 900 jobs, and it'll attract 106 million tourists in its first year. There's only one problem with what Governor Beshear thinks. He's not thinking, he's believing. That 900 jobs and 1.6 million tourists... That all comes from the feasibility study that was commissioned by Ark Encounters LLC, in which they merely told Kentucky state officials, the Commonwealth, the contents, because they never actually showed the study to Kentucky state government, Commonwealth government officials. Makes me want to just drive down to Frankfurt and offer to sell them a bridge in Brooklyn or something. Well, we'll move it right here to Frankfurt, Governor, and there'll be 1.6 million tourists come to see it, and it'll create 900 jobs. Well, can I see the report? No, you can't see the report, Governor. This is embarrassing. I don't know. Reverbo still wants us to get our green jackets and go and visit the Horn, make a group journalism visit to the Creation Museum. And by the way, Michael noting that when Bro Fromix gets all prophet-like with his pathetic parabolas, he gets promoted to Pro-Fro-Mix. Work it, Michael, work it. Pro-Fro-Mix. Sounds like something they use down to the track. Boogity, 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 amen. And yes, Pro-Fro-Mix also sounds like a pill to alleviate excessive anal froth. Whew. We are up and running tonight. So, with no further ado, lines are open. I got four lines open if you want to jump in. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. It is prayer meeting Wednesday, so get yourself up into a righteous, zealous, holy rolling froth and dial right in on your nickel. It's 304-658-3333. Email comes into Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid at gmail.com. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, gosh. Hey, Bob. Am I your first caller tonight?
You are, Tracy. You are.
Oh, my God. Of course.
You don't win anything because we're poor.
Okay, but, you know, keep those contributions coming. We, you know, everybody's listening. We need money. Well, Bob needs money. I'm working, so. But, anywho, I was all excited thinking that, you know, we were going to, Wisconsin was going to pull through, but I didn't really read all of it because after I was so depressed that.
Yeah, after the first couple of paragraphs, you go, oh, screw it.
Screw it, yeah. So the Republicans still maintain the control of the legislature here, right?
Right. Yeah. But there will still be a recall. I suspect they will still make Scott Walker.
There's another recall. They are going to recall Scott Walker. They're like counting the minutes until November. Yes.
That's my understanding. Yeah. Last time I talked to our buddy Bruce, he said, "Oh yeah, we're going to be ready the minute they say we can. It's going to get filed."
Good. Well, it's just weird, you know. I'm trying to not be ugly and upset about stuff. I've actually been doing some. I'm waiting for the book. What is it? Rainbow Pie.
Yes, Joe Bajan. Yeah.
Yeah, it was my idiot postman. Normally, I have a new postman, and he's an idiot because my old postman would just leave boxes in front of my door. This bastard, I'm going to go to the post office to pick up the damn box. And we both know how fun it is to go wait at the line at the United States Postal Service, okay?
True enough.
I'm not going to be able to start reading that until this weekend. But what I have been reading is Race Matters by my new hero, Dr. Cornel West. Have you ever read that one?
No, I have not.
Bob, when you get it, it's probably it'll take you maybe maybe a day, even a few hours, but it's basically, there's so much insight in that book, and the book was written like in 94, right, not too long after the riots and the Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas hearings and all that, and it basically talks about, you know, the state of Black America. Like I said, this was written in 1994. He did do a new preface back in 2001, but it's about the lack of Black leadership and in this country. You know, we have African Americans have not had a Black leader, a real Black leader since, I don't know, you know, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Fannie Lou Hamer, and the like. Because one of the things that Dr. Cornel West wrote about is that these people who were those leaders back then cared about Black people. And they were genuinely upset about the plight of Black America, or more so the plight of all of poor Americans, period. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, that was the ultimate transformation of Dr. King, and that's what got it. And you can make the argument that's what got him killed. Because when he realized there was a poor people problem.
Yeah. I think we talked about that. I think I mentioned that, you know, and especially with Malcolm, when it became international, when it became just not about Black people, they had to get got. They got got.
Oh yeah, when you go on the march to Mecca, and you start seeing
white folks that are Muslims, they say, "Hey, wait, you know, blood, you know, for all this time as in prison and as a part of, you know, the Nation of Islam, you got him, you know, Farrakhan and, you know, then the like telling saying that, you know, blue-eyed devils, and don't let don't."